I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. Are you a visionary, and are you the leader that you know lives inside you, that you were born to be? Well, I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. I feel very inspired today to be with you and to share whatever journey we're going to take in the next hour together. I've got a guest who will be on later today. Scott Stabile read his book. He's the author of Big Love. And Scott's inspirational posts and videos have attracted a huge and devoted social media following, including over 350,000 Facebook fans and counting. He's a regular contributor to the Huffington Post, and Scott conducts personal empowerment workshops all around the world. He will be on Leda Gaeta, and we're going to be talking here at the front side about my time, your time, and our time. Just to put some consciousness around that, because today's thought on time, my time, your time, our time, that shines. It looks upon the idea that we all live our lives according to our own tempo, rhythm, and flow of time. I'll tell you something funny. A couple of years ago, somebody bought me this huge package to a yoga place. There's many locations here in Southern California. And I matched it so that it was really like an enormous package, but I resist the mother out of going to yoga. I just resist it. I'm much happier at a gym for some reason because of my energy level. But I have to tell you, yoga is so freaking good for me. It totally changes my back, my knees, my neck, my shoulders, like everything that's misaligned or, you know, is a little funked out from sitting in front of a computer, it really comes back in. And of course, the breath work, and it's intense. These are like sweating classes, right, at yoga. And I don't mean hot yoga. I just mean that it's challenging. So I am using my package because it's about time. Like, where am I going to show up? How am I going to show up? What does that mean, showing up for myself? And what does that mean once I'm there? And this is a real biggie. What does it mean once I'm there to be fully present and not be looking at the clock and say, oh my God, I got through those 20 minutes. That was really intense. How am I going to be for the next 20? This morning at my yoga class, it's a Hatha Yoga 1-2 level, and it was amazing for me when she ended the class, and I was like, oh, I was fully not looking at the time. And that's a really big deal for me. I can't even say fully present because my mind does bounce a lot. But it's about mindfulness, right? Bringing it back to the moment. So let's talk about the idea that we live our lives according to our own tempo, rhythm, and flow of time. Flow of time. Our bodies, our minds thrive when we follow the daily rhythms of sleep and activity that work best for us. I am so about finding out, what is your groove? What is your vibe? And aligning with that and not what you hear about out there. Difficulties arise when we try to impose our style of personal time on others and, of course, vice versa. And when we have a meditation practice, it helps us listen and tune into our own unique approach to personal time. And through acceptance, we respect everyone else's approach as well. So here's an idea you can contemplate right now and for today, which is, I cherish our time together. So if I haven't expressed gratitude to you, dear listeners, in a while, just know I'm going on 11 years here with you on this journey. I cherish our time together and with my guests and with you. Thank you for always showing up. Thank you for your feedback. I love hearing from you. It was Maya Angelou who said, we spend precious hours fearing the inevitable. It would be wise to use that time adoring our families, cherishing our friends and living our lives. Well, when we come back, Scott Stabile is here to talk about his massive life challenges, which included his parents being murdered when he was 14 years old, a brother who died from a heroin overdose, and 13 years in a cult. And now to his milestone insights in his new book, Big Love. Wow conversation coming up with Scott. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love directsellers.com/debswinewonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/debswinewonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed at directsellers.com/debswinewonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/debswinewonders.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
I'm back. This is Debbie Dashinger, and I'm here with Scott Stabile, who's the author of Big Love. And Scott, welcome to Dare to Dream. So glad to have you here.
Thank you so much, Debbie. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm looking forward to our conversation on your mission to spread love. What a big frickin' mission.
I think it's your mission,
days.
Too, I have a feeling from listening to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I would align with that 100%. I really would. And what's interesting about you, too, within all of that, is that you also have this ability about pulling back the curtain. So having read your book, I just want to make this comment. Outside of my being on media, I also coach media. I'm a book writing coach. I take authors' books to bestsellers. I coach entrepreneurs how to be interviewed on media for big results. And I've been teaching this ongoing book writing class, and I teach my student authors the grave importance of writing what they're afraid of writing about. Go to where you're afraid. What's scary? And those are actually the things to write about because it creates connection and resonance with readers. And your book, Scott, Big Love, is such an excellent example of this. You totally pull back the covers on thoughts and your life, and you very transparently share your truth and your raw experience. So kudos. And I
gotta ask,
why did you choose to reveal such personal information about yourself at that level throughout your book?
You know, well, first, thank you so much for the kind words. And, you know, I think it's in great part because of my Facebook page. I've had this page for over 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And when I started the page, it was with the intention of it just being this bolt of positivity. So if anyone saw a post, it was always kind of in the rainbows and unicorns, life is so beautiful frame of mind. Like that was what I was going for. And that was great. And the page started to grow and people started to respond. And then at one point, a woman, I write about this in the introduction to the book, a woman left a comment under one of my posts. And I don't remember the post, but I remember her comment. And it was, you know, Scott, not everyone's as happy as you are all the time. Some of us are really struggling out here. And it was one of those moments for me, Debbie, where one, I recognized that we can't own another person's response to the things we say and do. You know, I recognize that, you know, that's for the other person to own. But at the same time, it was this wake up call because I had been sharing all these really positive, affirming things. And that was really all I was sharing. So how would this woman perceive me in any way other than what she'd seen on this page? So I realized this was kind of an invitation to share more of myself and more of my story. And I started to write about my insecurities, and I wrote about my fears, and I wrote about losing my parents and losing my brother and all of these different pieces of my life that I'd never really shared through that forum. And what I found, which was beautiful for me to see, was that whenever I would post something that was a bit more transparent and more real and maybe rooted in more of my struggle than my joy, they were always the posts that had the most response and most engagement. And a lot of the comments would be, me too, and thank you so much. It's so good to know I'm not alone. And thank you for sharing this. I want you to know you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And what I came to see, you know, because then I started to do that more regularly. And the page still has a lot of the energy of the page is very hopeful and optimistic and positive. But I also try to make it very real. And I do talk about the struggles and the pain and the work that we have to do to be present with the uglier parts of who we are and embrace those too and accept those too, as well as the parts that are easy to accept. And so in writing the book, I felt like, you know, I had established this way of communicating on my Facebook page with the community there. And it's what I write about and talk about all the time, being real, being honest. And so I kind of knew that with the book, I had to go there. You know what I mean? Like it didn't feel like an option not to put it all out there, you know, or at least a lot of it out there. I mean, and not hold back in my sharing and share the really awkward, embarrassing, shameful truths too. You know what I mean? And in part because I know that we all can relate to each other and we all can relate to each other's shame and embarrassment. And you might not have my same circumstances, but you have your own versions of shame and grief and all these other things that I feel. In my experience, the more of us who are just being open with the experience of being human, there's a resonance that happens with others.
Well, there's an apropos quote from you, Scott, which is, you don't have to share your secrets with others if you don't want to, but there's no point in lying to yourself about who you really are and what you really want. We have to be willing to admit to ourselves our deepest truths with acceptance if we want to evolve beyond a life of falseness and shame. I feel like that's the energy of right now, don't you? That,
yes.
You know, we grew up sort of in an age of rah-rah motivation, inspiration, you know, speakers like that. And we've moved away from it. Also, the Brené Browns and the others who are saying, yeah, and
yes.
There's this real humanness here to who we are. Is that something that you deliver that you offer a lot also in your workshops?
It's something I absolutely try to always offer that. I mean, one, to make a couple things clear, like I only speak from my experience of life, and I have nothing figured out completely, you know, like even though I talk endlessly about love and could talk about love all the time and the importance of love, I am not always loving. You know, I'm as impatient as a person can be. I'm a jerk. I'm all these things. And I think, I mean, I love Brené Brown's work and the others out there who are speaking beyond just the affirmations of life is beautiful. And I believe life is beautiful. There's a lot that's beautiful, but who are also speaking to the truth that it's really hard. This reality can be brutal and painful and heartbreaking, and that's part of the human experience too. And it's and we are not served by trying to numb ourselves in escape from feeling the more uncomfortable parts. I believe that we're ultimately served when we're able to rest in whatever it is we're feeling and allow for it, because we recognize it's part of being human.
Mm. You mentioned it just now, and it's also throughout your book. 15 years ago, a friend asked you, Scott, what do you want to do with your life? And you told him you wanted to spread as much love as possible. What a huge mission during very interesting times. And with such a calling, how do you manage any internal shortcomings? What are your inner or outer obstacles, Scott, to walking that path and that mission of love?
I think they're the same obstacles any of us would have. I mean, it's this president and administration have presented incredible obstacles for me, and have really challenged me to look at myself and to question myself and to push myself. Like, look, you say you want to be about love and you are about spreading love and communicating with love. And are you, when you're choosing to show up in political discourses, are you holding true to that commitment? And it's, you know, the thing I'll say about love is that, and when I'm speaking about love, I'm speaking about the energy of love, that the energy that I feel like fuels our kindness and our compassion and our forgiveness and all those good, important things that create, you know, positive energy in our world. But it takes hard work, and it takes, you know, people will joke about love like it's too woo-woo and it's kind of a weak choice. And I think, well, when someone is in your face screaming at you angrily, how easy is it for you to go to love in that moment? It is often the harder choice.
Oh my God. This is so difficult. I had this happen just Monday, in fact. I was driving to this yoga class I mentioned, and I was waiting for a light to turn so I could cross over the street. Somebody in a car was pulling out of a corner store lot, and they kept backing up into the street right to my car. There was nowhere I could go. I had a car in front of me, and I was honking to say, hello, I'm in a little Mini Cooper. You know, totally notice me. I don't want you to crash into me. And rather than stop, he kept backing up in a really rather large vehicle and then proceeded to lose his mind and scream and curse. Thank you. My windows were up because I couldn't. Honey, I'm on my way to yoga. This is not the energy, right? But this man went ballistic. And part of me deeply wants to run out of the car and go, peace on earth, you know, happy holidays to you too. Like, what, you know, he has to suffer if he's like that. But it's very hard to manage that in the moment and, you know, not tell someone they're crazy or... I'll never match the energy. That's not me. But I hear you. And... especially, interestingly enough, during holiday times when it should be fun and peace toward others and goodwill, that people, their ire comes up because they're stressed and they're trying to get stuff done and they go a little crazy. So that to me is very challenging, to be living in a big city and have things like that happen. I find that an obstacle.
I'm with you. I think it's so funny because I think that being in the car, it's always like in my head too, when I think of examples of when we lose our cool, it's always those examples. It's always when we're on the road and someone cuts us off or someone's yelling at us or something, because most of us can relate to that experience. But, you know, I think, you know, when you ask me how do I how do I move forward, or how do I deal with it in the face of, you know, opposition or aggravation. I think sometimes the best thing we can do, which is what it sounds like you did in that moment, is disengage. You know, I know that if I don't, and social media is a huge provocateur right now, especially politically, and people are posting things all the time that will offend or infuriate or disgust you. And maybe you're posting things that are going to anger someone else, and everyone's screaming at each other. And there's so much vitriol being flung back and forth. And when I read something that really upsets me, I know that if I'm going to respond from that place of upset and rage and disgust and judgment, that I'm going to have nothing positive to offer the situation. And so sometimes I feel like when I'm tuned into love and when I'm asking myself the question, you know, what does love invite me to do in this moment? How is love inviting me to respond? The only answer I come up with sometimes is to disengage, to not respond, because I know that all I'll have to offer is my own vitriol, you know, and sometimes it takes a couple hours or a day or a week, you know, before we feel like we can come at an interaction or a conversation from a place of with compassion and kindness and a little bit of empathy. So we know when we're showing up for those dialogues, it's not going to be with hatred, you know.
Do you have an example that you can offer, that a way that you've shown up, Scott, that superseded expectations and created a meaningful result in love and through love?
Well, you know, I think things happen all the time on my Facebook page. Anytime I post anything politically, there's always a backlash. But but sometimes people in presenting what it is they want to say, you'll feel the anger, but their words aren't so disparaging. Like some people will just swear at me and cuss me out and call me names. But others will be angry and refute whatever it is I've said, but you feel like there's still some path of openness. And I think that in those, because I'm not inclined to go into dialogue with people who are committed to being right or committed to making me wrong. I see no point in it, honestly. But I'm very committed to showing up if I see that there's potentially a path to communication in the person, even if all they have to offer in the moment is anger. And I've seen many times, if I've responded to someone who's been really angry on my page, but I've come from a place of kindness in trying to make a point with consideration of who they are and what their experience might be in mind, that a dialogue can form. And I think that those are the examples when we can show up with empathy, when we can take 30 seconds or a minute to consider what it's like to walk in the other person's shoes. We show up to that conversation in a completely different space. And I think we all know that if someone's coming at us fueled by anger, and if we don't go there, if we don't go to that angry place, or maybe it's your in relationship with your partner or a good friend or a family member, if we don't combat their anger with our own anger, but instead stay grounded in a more peaceful, loving place, there's really nowhere for that anger to go. Not really. I've had that experience over and over and over again in my life. When people come at you and their expectation is you're going to come back at them so you can come back, they can come back at you again, but you don't do that and you kind of just dissolve into this place of grounded peace and understanding, which isn't easy to do at all, but is possible. It shifts the conversation completely. And I've had that experience over and over and over again in my life.
I love what you're sharing, and I really resonate. And the times I can remember this mindfully, for instance, driving, if somebody's in front of me and they're slow, I am an impatient driver. I'll admit it. 12-step
program.
Well,
you're a New Yorker, right?
You totally. Can't help it. Exactly. And it's like, come on. I like to get places quickly. And I tell myself things like, what if that is a pregnant woman or someone driving a pregnant woman and they need to go the pace they do? What if that was your grandpa, somebody's grandpa? What if, you know, I think of like really archetypical type people who could be in the car or situations that could be going on, and I have this total back off. Even sometimes I think, what if they're actually slowing you down because it's the universe's desire that you go a little slower and drive a little more mindfully right now.
Yeah.
It's going to help
yeah.
you avoid something. So I take those into consideration. And with what you're sharing, too, I use it with friends because occasionally if I feel a disappointment, this has been my full year of mindfully remembering how people have shown up for me. So rather than looking at their shortcomings, oh, they didn't this, they didn't that, or oh, they canceled, or going, oh, you know, they have really been there for me during a very interesting year, and I love them for that. And these are their really amazing qualities, and I honor those qualities and how they show up in the world, and that's what I focus on, how they make my life rich. So all these shifting of thoughts and dialoguing and ways that we connect with others and ways that we can reperceive what's out there for a better result, very positive, very powerful, very much needed today. Well, you're listening
yeah.
to Dare to Dream Radio. Yeah. Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Scott a little bit about his past and how he got through to the other side. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, debbiedashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator to schedule a private session or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside, waiting to release your message to the world? Go to mybestsellerbook.com. My bestseller book will launch your book to a guaranteed bestseller status. Learn more at mybestsellerbook.com.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm interviewing Scott Stabil at scottstabil.com. Scott, this is sort of a big subject, but I know you've been around this so much your life. Your parents were murdered when you were 14 years old. It just seems so unthinkable, losing them through violence, such a young age. How did that influence your life?
Well, I mean, it certainly uprooted my life, I mean, in every way imaginable. And at the time, I moved in with my eldest sister and her family and shifted schools and really buried the experience away. And I don't, when I reflect back on being a teenager and losing my parents like that, they were shot to death. I don't feel like I did anything consciously at the time, but I'm so grateful that something within me knew that the only way I was likely going to be able to handle you know, what I had been through was to lock it away. And once a year, like clockwork, I'd have a really good cry and then bottle it away again until the next year. And I never talked about my parents. I was very, very ashamed of being an orphan and couldn't deal with anytime anyone found out I didn't have parents. That was overwhelming enough for them. But then when they found out how my parents died, it was like this horrible conversation, you know, every single time. And so I really created a big secret around it. You know, I would manipulate conversations away from family if they were moving in that direction. And it took a toll, obviously. You know, I mean, obviously I was thinking about my parents, of course, but I really just moved on with my life and was a straight A student and had lots of friends and went to a good college and lived a life as though it had never happened and that I had never had parents. And my close friends would come to learn about, you know, my story and my reality. And it wasn't until my early 20s, I graduated college in Michigan and moved to San Francisco and started reading some of the, you know, self-help, new age spirituality books and started befriending people who were, you know, talking in about enlightenment and living their lives from a loving place. And I was having all these conversations I'd never had in my life and reading all these books that I'd never, you know, about these ideas I'd never really thought of, but they felt so right and so true to me. And this was when I also realized that it was time to grieve my parents differently. You know, it was because I had put up such a wall around their death and around the experience and around grieving them that I realized I'd really put a wall up around everything and had created, had limited my connections with people. You know, I wasn't really sharing my full self because I would never talk about this experience that was the biggest, most profound part of my life. So I started to cry. You know, I started to cry and I started to rage more than once a year and really just started to allow myself to sit in the feelings of having lost my parents and having lost them to murder. And also at this time, I was realizing this is when I really started to connect with love as the guiding force in my life and recognize that, you know, whenever I'm present in love, I feel better. Whenever I'm present in love, I have more to offer the people in my life and the world in general. And I also started to realize that whenever I'm operating outside the energy of love, I'm in my head and I'm in my ego. Whenever I'm making a justification not to love somebody, I am in my head. And that's okay, that's human, but that's a story. You know, that's not really how I want to be operating in my life. And so all this stuff was happening at the same time that I'm starting, you know, that I'm opening up to grieving in a different way. And what I found from it all was that it was a very difficult and painful time and also this profoundly beautiful time because I was having the deepest connections I'd ever had with people in my life and having these beautiful friendships and relationships and also seeing these really dark, not just losing my parents, but I was also opening up to who I was as a human being and seeing that I wasn't, I was very loving, but I was also much uglier than I ever realized myself to be. I was much more envious and much more blameful and much more hateful and judgmental. And that's, I mean, I think when we start to open to our growth, you know, spiritually speaking, it's beautiful initially because we see, oh my God, I have so much love to give this world. And I think that life manipulates it in that way because we're like, oh, what else can I discover about myself? And then we start to see, oh my God, I'm disgusting, you know, and like I am a hideous creature, you know, and I think that we all are. I think we're all the full spectrum of really, really ugly to really, really beautiful. And that's part of being human. And the great gift that I found, and more so all the time, especially in these last years, is that when we can bring acceptance to all the parts of us, when we can love the part that is judgmental and love the part that is envious and love the part that is patient and loving, when we can give love to all those pieces of who we are, that's how we can show up in a bigger way and give love to the world, you know, And I've learned that over and over and over again. Acceptance has been one of the most beautiful teachers for me. It's like, yeah, I'm envious. Okay, so is every other human being. That's okay. If it's not how you're choosing to show up and live your life all the time, but it's simply a part of your personality and you can bring awareness to that part and still love that part and still move forward as lovingly as possible, then okay, that's all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I marvel at your story because you're talking about choosing to grieve and rage and really allowing it to flow through you, and at the same time also taking a look at a shadow side of you that you hadn't fully noticed before, acknowledged, and seeing, oh, there's a lot here. The incredible healing and purging journey that you commit to, and to come out the other side and then be committed to this love and accept. I love acceptance is the answer to all my problems, to accept all this mishigas, as they say in Yiddish.
Yes, yes.
This big soup. And I also, knowing your story, just to share with the listeners also that you lost your brother who passed away and died of a heroin overdose. Your friend Kevin, who was your roommate, died as well from addiction. And the resilience, this is what I just blows my mind, the resilience of the human spirit. Do you ever marvel when you become like fully aware or conscious of what you've been through, of the enormous resilience and your capacity to overcome and live on and thrive?
Yeah, well, I'm super grateful for it. I'll tell you that much. And I believe that same resilience lives in all of us, in the same strength. And I think that we don't really recognize that unless we allow ourselves to be present in whatever grief, whatever struggles we're enduring. But I know the loss of my parents and brother, very tragic. I also know that there are millions upon millions of others out there, and I'm certain the majority of your listeners who have been through incredibly tragic things in their lives. To lose anybody you love is profoundly tragic, even if it's expected, even if they've lived to 90. You know, I mean, loss is loss and grief is grief. And I think, if anything, I've really come to recognize my own strength and resilience, absolutely, and I've come to recognize it in other people. And I think that one of the things that we see in our country, perhaps especially, Debbie, is that, you know, there's so much, we live in such an addictive society, and I think it's in great part because people don't want to sit in the uncomfortable emotions. And if you're in the spiritual self-help world, you're constantly being told that happiness is a choice and choose happy. And we're being given this message that happiness is the only way to be. So when we're not feeling happy, not only are we not feeling happy, but I've often felt like I was a failure because I'm supposed to be able to just select my happiness at will, you know, and it adds on this shame to your sadness that's already hard enough to deal with. So I feel like it's really important to just be with whatever emotions are going on, because only when we sit in our sadness and only when we sit in our anger and allow those emotions to move through us do we become aware of the strength and resilience that we have inside. And when we're constantly numbing and escaping, whether it's with drugs or alcohol or shopping or TV binging or whatever else we escape into, we don't allow ourselves to be shown the strength that we have to live beyond those uncomfortable things that we're running from. And also, I found that when I'm constantly numbing and trying to escape from feeling whatever it is I'm feeling, those feelings have complete control over me. You know, because I'm putting so much energy into escaping them, they're controlling me. But when I just am present with them, at some point they do move on. And that's not to say they don't come back, because all the feelings are fleeting and they return and they fleet away again. And that's the nature of being human. But I've really seen time and time again, especially in these last several years, the importance of allowing for the feelings that are coming through me.
I love the words allow, receive, accept. When I hear them, they're the most powerful reminders of how off the mark I am and the simplicity of coming back and allowing that energy to be, whether it is allowing or receiving,
yeah,
or accepting, or letting go, things like that, surrendering. Ah, okay, thank you for that reminder. Thank you for that reminder. Really is everything.
Absolutely. And then also in bringing acceptance to the parts of you that can't surrender and can't let go and can't accept. I mean, that's the thing about acceptance. It always goes to a deeper level. Okay, you can accept this. Can you accept the fact that you can't accept everything about yourself? You know, and when you can go there, it's like, wow, okay, that ocean of acceptance is so deep and so big and so peaceful. It's beautiful.
That's great. That is an aha for me to bring in an acceptance. For instance, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm in the midst of, on the other side of a breakup, a 10-year relationship that ended this year and has created enormous impact and change in my life. And so when I hear you say that, it makes me think, okay, to accept even the unacceptable. It wasn't my choice that this happened. It wasn't my choice to move out. It wasn't my choice at this end, and all the newness that's been created and the oldness, especially around a holiday that it brings up. Wow, this isn't here. This won't happen. Or I want to share this and you're not here to share this. Like, this feels so unacceptable and uncomfortable, and that to even accept how uncomfortable and unacceptable this is. Wow.
Yeah. It's deep. Acceptance runs deep. You know, it's been one of my biggest teachers. And look, I'm also not always in a place of acceptance with anything. You know, sometimes I'm in total resistance, but I found that, you know, when we're resisting what is in life, it's so much energy being spent on what is. You know, working against what is rather than accepting what is and then moving forward from that acceptance to create change in our lives in the way that we feel we need to create change. I found it so much easier to make changes from a place of acceptance, even of the things that we don't want, than it is to be continuously energetically fighting against what is in the world and trying to make a change from that place, because we don't create a lot of space and openness in ourselves to make the changes we know we need to make.
Amen, brother. Well,
yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Word. When we come back, we'll be talking with Scott some about his writing as a tool for process, about the power of living life with a wide open heart, and what he next dares to dream. If you want to write a book, connect with me for coaching and writing accountability. I'm a certified coach and a book doula, a book coach who ensures you will finish your book and you'll write a great book, a page turner. I also take your book to guaranteed international bestseller and assist with media interviewing strategies and bookings. You can email bestseller@debbiedashinger.com. Stay right there. I'll be right back.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you love wine? Do you enjoy drinking it or sharing it? Well, maybe you know a lot about wine, maybe you don't. Thanks for entrusting me with picking and choosing the most amazing wines from all over the world and delivering them to your home or business. You will receive as few or as many bottles of wine as you like, with tasting notes in your magical box of wine, detailing the regions, the history, and even food and wine pairing. We will deliver to you the best wine wine in the world. So get in, get wine, get social at directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Sit back and truly enjoy our wines, because we take great pride. We have invested a great deal of time selecting the most incredible wines from all over the world we know you'll enjoy and want to share at directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/DebsWineWonders. Yum.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Debbie Dashinger and Dare to Dream, welcome back. I'm speaking with Scott Stabile, whose previous works include Just Love, Iris, and the Little Pet Hospital series. Scott also wrote the feature film, The Oogle Love in the Big Balloon Adventure, and his most recent book, Big Love. You can find him at scottstabile.com. Scott, talk about writing. I love writing. Talk about writing as a tool that you use to process your inner world. You've done it through children's books, writing for film, now for your memoir. How do you use writing to process?
Look, I think writing is one of the best tools for processing anything. And I don't think that for any listener out there that you need to write a book or a screenplay or anything in order to use writing as a really powerful tool. You know, my experience of writing, and it was mostly journal writing before I did any sort of creative writing, was that, you know, when I'm feeling really angry, really sad, like writing is an outlet for energy. You know, it gets the energy out of your body. And what I've so often found in writing is that where I start in like a journal entry, if I need to process something, something's confusing me or upsetting me, where I eventually end up in that writing exercise, I will have discovered things about myself or about the circumstance that I really don't believe I would have found if I had just been thinking about it. You know, there's something that happens in writing, I found for myself, there's something that happens often is it is a real outlet for self-exploration. And as soon as, especially I think for me, if it's with like pen to paper, if I'm really trying to do the self-exploration thing, there's something that happens that you find yourself uncovering these ideas and these thoughts that lead you to other ideas and thoughts that that create these aha moments, that create these epiphanies. And so I found it to be an incredible tool. And certainly when you're writing about heavier stuff in your life, if you're writing about shadow stuff or deep stuff, any work and energy we're putting in to processing our shadow side, I think, is supportive of our healing journey. And so writing is just one more avenue to heal, in my experience.
Beautiful. And
what about you, Debbie?
For writing?
Yeah.
You know, having written three books myself and teaching writing, thank you for the question. It's very interesting at this point in my life that I tend to avoid the journal, and yet it's an outlook for change. And just today I was reflecting that how lucky are you, Debbie, to have this opportunity to recreate yourself, to re-choose a lot of things going forward, to redecide your life because of this break. It's an opportunity, and to look at it like that. And what if you played the opposite game? You know, that everything that you used to do before, you're going to do opposite. Maybe it's, yeah, I would just have a quick shake and stand over the kitchen sink and drink my protein shake in the morning. What if you actually made a meal and sat down and did the opposite? What if instead of avoiding the journal, which you know is an outlet for healing, today you make the choice, even if it's just for 20 minutes, to sit and write? And I actually just printed up some questions. I did some research online about breakups and the transitions. And first, I was fully heartened to read from men and women what they go through, the grieving process and the enormity of it and the change. So that made me feel really good to read brothers and sisters who have been through the same.
Yeah.
And then to pull up a bunch of healing questions to write about. So I put it in my journal, and it's literally, while I'm talking to you, I'm looking at it, sitting on a chair. So my answer to you, Scott, is that I'm going to commit for today to write in it and spend a minimum of 20 minutes as a healing tool to explore, just to see what's inside and is begging to be paid attention to.
Yeah, nice. I love that. You speak very beautifully about something that I think is so important, and you were talking about it earlier in the different context of like how your reactions are to someone in, you know, in the car and things like that. And you're speaking to the power that lives within each of us to bring awareness to the choices we're making and to shift if we're making choices that aren't ultimately serving our well-being, serving our peace of mind and spirit, to play with making different choices in our lives. And I feel like when we do that, we start to recognize how empowered we are to create the kind of life that we want to be living. And we only really recognize that when we start to play, when we start to look at the thoughts that we're thinking, which we can't control a lot of the time because our thoughts are playing out before we even have awareness of them. But when we bring awareness to them and we're thinking the self-abusive thoughts and we're standing in front of the mirror and calling ourselves ugly and disgusting and whatever else we call ourselves, when we can bring awareness to those moments and shift the choices we're making in terms of how we're thinking and the choices we're making and the actions we're taking, I love like reversing how you're approaching your breakfast. Like This is how we heal, as far as I'm concerned. This is how we grow. It's also how we make life more interesting and more fun, and it's how we learn so much about ourselves. So I love, you seem so dialed in to kind of a conscious way of approaching your life, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, what do you do then, Scott, daily? What is there a ritual or practice that you engage in that helps keep you heart-centered and grounded?
I would say I don't do anything daily at this point, but when I'm really in the zone, like if I'm starting my morning with a hot cup of tea and even in like a 10-minute meditation, and just if some of the first things I'm thinking when I wake up is just some acknowledgement of gratitude, you know, for this life and for another day and for breathing and for my partner and, you know, whatever it is I feel grateful for in the moment. If I can start my day with gratitude, hot cup of tea and some meditation, that sets me on a really, really good path. And I would say one of the other, you know, seriously, and one of the other things I do, especially if I'm feeling stressed out or whatever, like long walks outside, and especially if they can be like in amongst trees, you know, in green, that really helps to recalibrate me, for sure.
Those are nice. And dare to dream. So this is dare to dream. What are you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
I would say, you know, I'm thrilled that the book is out right now. And I really, one of the reasons I wanted to write the book is in part because I want to do a lot more speaking. I want to start doing a lot more workshops than I've done and really connect. I enjoy writing, but it's not my greatest passion by any means. My greater passion is connection with people, you know, like talking to you right now and talking about this is what I feel like I thrive on. And I want to be, you know, out there speaking and doing workshops and being with people in real life, you know, and connecting and talking and healing. And so more of that, more of the same, but more in-person connection.
Well, then I'm so curious when you say that, how does your workshop manifest? What is that like? So if you thrive in this, and I certainly can see why after spending this hour with you, what is it like to spend a workshop with you?
Well, I don't know what it's like for the workshop attendees, but I think positive. I mean, it's intense. The truth is, I think that the workshops go deep. I mean, we do a lot of writing in the workshops that I do. It's rooted in writing and exploration through writing, and then interpersonal exercises like pairing people up and a lot of sharing. They all kind of end up feeling like group therapy, but I think in a really positive, deep way. And I think that one of my greater gifts is just being able to communicate with people in the moment and read the energy of the room and help people share and explore things that they may not have thought to share or explore. But I don't, my workshops aren't light, even though that we're not always talking about deep, dark, heavy stuff, but I feel that there's always a really open energy in the room. And when you have an energy of openness and when people come, the people who come know that they're coming there, I think, to do some self-exploration. I think that what it invites is a lot of vulnerability and a lot of laughter and a lot of tears. And, you know, I think that they're pretty moving in that way.
And you know,
but intense.
Heart.
I think they're exhausted. I think by the end, like, people are ready to leave. But from a good place, I think.
Reintegrate everything they've been learning
exactly.
and working on. Oh, that's beautiful. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been such a joy to have you and to talk with you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Debbie, and thank you for the work you're doing to share, you know, your light and love with the world.
What a lovely, lovely guy. Thank you. I end today's show with this quote from Scott Stabile. Let them judge you. Let them misunderstand you. Let them gossip about you. Their opinion aren't your problems. You stay kind, connected to your love, and free in your authenticity. No matter what they do or say, don't you doubt your worth or the beauty of your truth. Just keep shining as you always do. Stay with us every week, because next up on Dare to Dream Radio and Podcast, I'm featuring these guests, Lisa Nichols, Judith Orloff, Carolyn Mace, and Lynn McTaggart, for amazing conversation. You can subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. And remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin to your dreams in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if